right, please turn your Bibles this morning to Romans chapter 6. I'm going to start reading with verse 12. Mine starts with therefore. I don't know what version you're looking at, but mine starts in verse 12 with therefore. You'll see it's in the middle of a paragraph, but it turns out the Bible wasn't written with verse numbers or paragraphs, so when we interpret it and reread it, we can kind of shift things and connect things in slightly different ways than maybe that particular translation connects them. So we're starting with the therefore today. One of my professors would always challenge us, what is the therefore, therefore? You maybe have heard that saying, but there's a reason he says therefore, and we want to know why. Well, we've been working our way through this book, and so far we talked about our condition before Christ, how without Christ we had no hope, that we were objects of wrath, that in our sin we deserved death, that just as sin and death entered the world through Adam, all died because all sinned. But now we have a life in Christ, and when we come to Christ and put our faith in him, we are made right with God, we are placed into right standing, and God declares us righteous, not because of good things that we've done, but because of the goodness of Christ. And Paul gives the example of Abraham and how Abraham believed God, and that was credited to him as righteousness. So now, so far then, Paul has basically said, we are in right standing with God. We have this new relationship with God where we have been brought into a place of friendship and peace with him. And it's important that we understand that this is not just something that we declare one time in our life and then go on and forget about it and go about our business. Our salvation in Jesus is not merely a one-time event, but rather God is at work transforming us day by day from glory to glory to glory. He desires that we live in his righteousness. And last week, we saw how the resurrection of Christ has not only implication for our future, for what's going to happen one day. If Christ doesn't come first, if we die and we go to the grave, we're promised that we're going to be raised, our bodies are going to be transformed to be like his glorious body. And we look forward to that transformation, but the resurrection of Christ actually has power for our lives right now. And so as we move into this new section in the book of Romans, Paul's going to shift a little bit, and he's going to be talking about how our day-to-day living with God should look. Last week we saw that in terms of our relationship to sin, well, we died to it, and now we walk in newness of life with Christ. And so every day we experience this new life, and now we are being transformed to live out the righteousness of God. We've been declared righteous, and now we are growing in righteousness. Theologians often talk about several different big terms, all right? One of them is justification. We've read that here in the book of Romans, how we're declared right before God, before the judge of the universe. Another one is sanctification, and that has to do with our personal holiness, how we grow in purity. And there's two ways to look at it. The Bible, on the one hand, talks about how when we become believers, we are called saints immediately. Sainthood is not something that you achieve by being perfect, by doing certain miracles and living a pure life, but rather we are called saints. We are holy. That word means set apart unto God. On the other hand, we recognize that we're not perfect. We don't always do the right thing even after we come to Christ. And so another way of looking at sanctification or becoming holy is this process by which we are able to rid our lives of sin and live in purity and holiness before God. And this is what Paul is talking about here in Romans 6, 12, and then into chapter 7 and into chapter 8. All right, so what we're reading today is not the full picture, but it is part of it. So let's read together. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves to the one you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. I am using an example from everyday life because of your human limitations. Just as you used to offer yourselves as slaves to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer yourselves as slaves to righteousness leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So here we're talking about living in righteousness, this day by day, doing what's right before God. And he starts off by saying that we need to be instruments of righteousness. He says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. The picture here, the way that Paul writes this, it's very hard to communicate in English because we don't actually have this grammatical form. What he is not talking about you giving permission for sin to reign in your body. That's not the picture here. This is something, I'm going to get a little technical, it's called the third person imperative. So like if I wanted Bob to do something, I'd give him a command. I'd say, Bob, go sit in that chair back there, right? That's a command directly to Bob. And the idea is that, Bob, I want you to go sit back there, right? That would be giving a command to a person. That's not what's happening here. Paul is giving a command, in a sense, to the idea of sin, and it carries the force of sin must not reign over us. So it has nothing to do with you giving permission to let sin reign over you, but rather it is about making a statement that the reality of the situation is sin should not have power or dominion over us. Remember, he's just said, what is the therefore, therefore? He's just said that we are dead to sin and alive to God, therefore sin must not reign. All right, he's making a declarative statement, sin must not reign in your mortal body. See, our bodies now, they're subject to death. We're familiar with this reality. And so we don't want that these bodies that are subject to death to be ruled by sin so that we obey its evil desires. And we're talking about the evil desires of the mortal body, the cravings of the flesh. James talks about the lust. Is it James or John? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, pride of life. Which one? I've lost it now. Anyway, sorry. You look that up, please. He talks about how things we see, they create these desires in us. The feelings and the cravings of our flesh, they create these desires in us. And the pride of like showing what we have and what we can do, that creates these sinful desires in us. Paul describes people who live as enemies of the cross. In Philippians, he says that their God is their stomach. In other words, their appetites rule them. Whatever it is that they're craving or you're hungry for at the moment, that's what they're chasing after. And so our mortal bodies are not evil, but they're corrupted and they can lead us astray. And Paul says, we can't let sin reign. The state of affairs should be that sin does not reign. Our desires are not in charge. He says, do not offer yourself or any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness. Now, this is cool because he says, on the one hand, we're not to be instruments of wickedness, but on the other hand, we should be instruments of righteousness. And this word instrument is a really cool word because it can mean weapon or tool. Any of you guys like tool guys? Like wives rolling your eyes a little bit here? Oh, we got tool ladies too? Tool ladies? All right, good. Not just men, women are into tools as well. You know, like, you ever got to start a new project and you're like, oh, I need a new tool. And you're a little bit excited about that? Yeah. That's the picture here is an instrument or a tool that you would use to get something done. All right? So what Paul is saying then is that our bodies can be tools of wickedness or tools of righteousness. Now, think of a tool, say something like a hammer. I can do a lot of good work with a hammer, or I could bash somebody's head in with a hammer, right? Like, I can do something really good with a hammer, or I can do something really bad with a hammer. The question is, if the members, the parts of your body, are to be tools, what are you offering yourselves to do? Wickedness, which is unrighteousness, or righteousness? He says that you are to offer yourselves to God. This word offer means to, on one hand, it can mean like to offer a sacrifice, but on the other hand, it means to be at someone's disposal. Have you ever just told someone, hey, if you need anything, I can help, right? And you're available to be called on to help. That's the picture here. You're putting yourself at God's disposal. You're ready to help him or ready for whatever it is that he calls you to do. And he says, we want to remember this mindset that we've been brought from death to life, and we want to offer every part of ourselves as tools or weapons for righteousness. That God is going to wield us is the picture, as a tool or a weapon for good. So we come to him on a regular basis, on a daily basis, as we're living life, we're dead to sin, sin doesn't reign, and we offer ourselves as instruments or tools that God can use for what is right. He goes on, he says, for sin shall no longer be your master. It's not going to lord over you, it's not going to have dominion, because you are not under law, but under grace. And the idea here is that Paul's said so far that it's through the law that we become conscious of sin. That sin and transgression is basically intensified because the commandments are laid out and we realize we've broken those things, right? So it serves to intensify sin, but we're not under that old era of things anymore. We've come under the realm of grace, the reign of grace, and that leads to eternal life. And so we need to live in the realm of grace. So we have this new mindset. It's not that we are totally rejecting the good things that God laid down in the law, but it's an understanding that kind of stuff, we saw that law laid down and then we broke it. We don't live that way anymore, but rather we are under the favor of God. So we need to understand then that we have a new master. Paul says, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? And the question is, well, if I'm no longer under the realm of the law, the dominion of the law, can I just do whatever I want? If the law doesn't apply to me anymore, I can just do whatever I want. And Paul says, no, that's the wrong way of thinking. Because the reality is we always end up serving someone or something. There's always something that we're chasing after or trying to do. And he says, don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves or slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one you obey. Well, that's kind of, like, it's like, that makes sense. Like, he just said the same thing twice in two different ways. But he's driving home a point. It's that you have to make a choice. You're going to follow something. You're going to obey something. Even if you say, well, I'm just going to serve myself. We come back to that place where your God is your stomach and whatever your appetites have to be, whatever you happen to be interested in, whatever cravings you have at the moment. Well, if you're just going to serve yourself, then, well, you're going to end up serving sin anyway. And Jesus, he was having a conversation with the Pharisees, and he was talking about their slavery to sin. This is what he said in John. Can you click the next slide for me, please? Because my thing just crashed. In John 8, verse 34 through 35, it says, Jesus replied to the Pharisees, "Very truly, I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. Now, so if the son sets you free," I got an extra line in there. "So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." In other words, Jesus is offering freedom from sin. This is a true freedom, but that true freedom comes from submission to God. And that's kind of paradoxical, because we kind of would think, if I'm going to be free, then no one reigns over me. That's just not a state of affairs that can really exist. We're going to end up serving something. And so if we want true freedom, then we come to serve God. All right, next slide. Whether you are, he says, your options are, you can be slaves to sin that leads to death, or you can be slaves to obedience, and that leads to righteousness. So this is the reality. We've got to serve something, and it's going to end up either being sin or it's going to be God. It says, "But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance." And what he's talking about here is the gospel. We have come to believe and obey from our hearts with sincerity, with genuineness, the gospel, this pattern of teaching. Now, this phrase that has now claimed your allegiance, it translates a word that means that you've been handed over to it. It's the same word for like when Jesus was betrayed or arrested, that Judas handed him over to the authority of the Jews, right, the priest. And Pilate, he hands Jesus over to be crucified. So it can have kind of like a negative meaning, or it can have a positive meaning in terms of you have been entrusted to the care of someone. And that's the picture here, is that through your obedience from your heart, you have been entrusted to the care of the gospel. You've been handed over to the truth of the gospel. You've been given over to it. And so the end result is that you have been set free from sin and have become a slave to righteousness. So now we offer ourselves as slaves, which leads to righteousness. And he tells us, he says, "I'm using an example from everyday life because of your human limitations." Now, it's hard for us to think about what it would be like to be a slave. We have images and pictures from history, but this is not our daily experience. We can think back to, you know, Civil War times and what things were like in the decades leading up to that, the centuries leading up to that. Slavery in the ancient world and the Roman world was different. It was could be very brutal, could be very awful, or it could be just kind of okay. It was never like the desired state. People wanted to be freed persons and not slaves to other people. But there were times when people would sell themselves into slavery for economic reasons. and they would offer themselves up in service to another so that they could have needs met. And this was kind of normal everyday life for them. When we started this study on the book of Romans, I don't know if you remember, but as many as like 60% of Christians at this time would have been former slaves or currently slaves. This is something that they just recognized in a culture that they lived in. And they understood that they were offering themselves in service to others. And so Paul says that just as you used to offer yourselves as slaves to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer yourselves as slaves to righteousness, leading to holiness. He's basically telling them, like, the old state of affairs is you were serving sin. And that word wickedness is lawlessness, constantly breaking God's commands, and it would spiral out of control and go further and further along the path of lawlessness. But now he says, I want you to offer yourselves as slaves of righteousness leading to holiness. And that's where we get that idea, that sanctification. That word sanctify means holy, to be made holy. And so we understand then that we are set apart and we are ridding our lives of the impurity of sin and growing in righteousness. He says it's mutually exclusive. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. So now we come, we offer ourselves to a new master, righteousness to God, because we can't serve two masters. And then finally, we have Paul talking about the fruit of holiness. Can you go to the next one for me? Yes, thank you. He asks in verse 21, what benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. He starts out with the question, what benefit? And literally it reads, what fruit did you have at that time? And we all recognize, like as Jesus said, a good tree bears good fruit and a bad tree bears bad fruit. A couple of Easters ago, we planted some fruit trees out behind our house, and I think we got a couple of bad trees, or I'm just really bad with plants. Can I blame the trees? Is that okay? One of them we got no fruit from, right? Like, it just died. And now it's just that little twig thing sticking up out of the ground. And I'm just going, that was a big hole I had to dig. Do you know how much clay I had to dig through to plant that tree? And I got nothing out of it. It just was death. But I had a couple pear trees, and they're doing awesome. And if we can get to the pears before the deer do, it's even better. Because that fruit, some of the best pears I've ever had in my life coming off that tree. And it's so good to reap the benefit of that. And that's what Paul is saying here, is there's fruit that you reap. And if you're reaping the fruit of sin, well, that is ultimately just death. Nothing comes out of that. But you have been set free from sin. You've become slaves to God. And so the fruit that you reap leads to holiness. As we live in righteousness before God, as we serve Him, as we offer ourselves as instruments, as tools of righteousness, the end result is holiness. He grows us in our sanctification, that we continually are set apart we are being rid of the impurities that corrupt us, and that we are being made whole and new in Jesus. And the end result of that then is eternal life. And he closes with this verse. You'll probably be familiar with it. For the wages of sin is death, right? So what we earn, what we deserve because of our wrongdoing is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And notice the comparison here. One of these things is earned and the other is given. So in other words, it's not that like we can be good enough so that God owes us eternal life. That's not what we're talking about when we're talking about living in righteousness. It's only through the work of Christ and our faith in him that we have eternal life. But as we live that out in our lives, we reap the fruit of holiness, and the end result is that we have life with God forever. And it's something that he gives us. It's not something that we demand or something that we earn. Okay, so we're talking about our daily walk then. Following God is not just, I made a decision one time at church, I raised my hand and I said a prayer. But following God is a daily walk where I'm in communion with him and I'm being transformed by him. He has declared me righteous in his son, and now his goodness is showing up in my life in the way that I am living. And Paul says here, or here's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to offer ourselves as instruments of righteousness every day. God, I want to be a weapon for good. I want to be a tool that you can use to bring about your goodness in the world. That is something that we do. We say, God, I'm at your disposal. And the reality is that we're going to end up serving something anyway. And so we need to choose to serve God over sin. Instead of the cravings of our mortal bodies, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, we reject that and we offer ourselves to God and we choose to serve him. We offer ourselves as slaves to righteousness. And the end result of that then is that we receive the fruit of holiness and eternal life. That Jesus has paid the price of death for us. And we no longer reap that because our sin has been washed away. And now we walk in new life in Jesus and we have an eternal life with God our Father. We look forward to the day when he comes to make all things new. All right, would you pray with me this morning? Father God, I want to thank you for this time that we've had to study your word. And God, I pray that you would help us to see what it is that you want to do in us. God, you know the sins that we commit, the things that we're ashamed of, the things that we feel guilty for. But you offer us forgiveness in Jesus, and you remind us that sin must not reign, but rather we yield to you. God, you don't leave us alone in this, but you give us power to overcome it. And so, God, we want to make a commitment to you this morning that you would truly be Lord and Master over us and that we would be at your disposal and that you would work your holiness in us. Help us to rid our lives of the sin that entangles us so that we can run freely in your power and in your grace. God, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.